Proverbs chapter 18. Look with me in verse 24. And the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, it's a good statement right there, and a good true statement. If you're going to have friends, you're going to have to show yourself friendly. If you don't want no friends, I guess that's a whole different ball game. But it says right here that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you want friends and you don't have any friends, might make you wonder about how much we're being friendly. Amen. And that to other people. Amen. I believe the people of God ought to be friendly people today. Yes. I want you to look at the rest of verse 24. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want you to be seated this morning across the house. I want to preach, having a thought this morning out of Proverbs chapter 18. You pray for me now that God will help us. Out of this part here where it says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I say today that mankind, we as mankind, is not made for solitude. We like solitude sometimes, and we need to be alone. There's no doubt about that. And that to have prayer time and that with God, we need to have, and that alone time and that with the Word of God, and meditation in the Word of God. But man is not made and that to be alone. We need in that the friendship and the fellowship and others that can only be supplied by another. Now, let me say that the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So he looked down and he seen his very creation, and he realized that man should not be alone. And he went on and said, and I will make a helpmeet for him. And so God and that made man and that a wife. And let me say today, men, that your wives ought to be your best friends. Amen. And you ladies, your husbands ought to be your best friends. Amen. And that's just the way that it is. Listen, I know God made us different. Ain't you glad of that today? Amen. My wife is made different from me, and I am made different from her. And if you need a science class, we'll go back and give you a first grade science class that men and women are different. Boys and girls are different. They think different. They're made different. But listen, God has made us and that to fellowship one with another. But we look here that there are times that we need a friend. Amen. And listen, if you don't think you need a friend, you're mistaken today. The Bible said, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's just good to be around your friends, ain't it? I mean, folk that love God, folk that know you and you know them, and you can fellowship together with them. And then you know what? They some of them good friends. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. Hey, some of them good friends, listen, they know the good and the bad on you, and they still want to be your friend anyway, amen. And they'll still come to your rescue when you need them rescuing, and they'll help you. Take your Bible this morning and look in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look with me now real quick by way of introduction. Listen, there's times that we just need a friend. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look in verse 9. Bible said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Something that my wife's not understood. When she comes and works with me sometimes, she says, all you ever want to do is make me a gopher. You want me to go for this and go for that. And what she don't understand, if I'm standing on a ladder, I can get work done three times quicker if I got somebody going to get what I need than me having to get up and down off that ladder right there. So what I'm going to start doing is letting her do the work. I'll be the gopher. Amen. I believe that's what I'll do. So I believe that'll work. I believe said two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know what a good friend will do? Help you when you need help. Amen. That's a good friend right there. They'll help you when you need help. And look, he said again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so we find that friendship is a great thing. And there's this time and that we need our friends and that around. Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 27, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. He said, don't forsake your friends. Don't forsake your father's friend. Hey, don't forsake them friends of old. Listen, they'll be there to help you when you need help. I love having friends, don't you? I have very true friends. I count all of you as a true friend. I do today. But in the grand scheme of things, if you think about it, we have very few friends in life. As many people as some of us know, I think about how many true friends that you could count on today that would help you. But I want to preach today on a thought on the dearest friend that I've ever had, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my dearest friend. Boy, I got to studying about that. And Naomi in the book of Ruth chapter 1 had a true friend in Ruth, didn't she? Boy, Ruth got over there and Naomi is going to try to run her off. And she said, Orpha's done went back to her people. And why don't you just go back? And Ruth said, no. She said, where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Your God will be my God. And that's just the way it's going to be. Hey, Ruth was a true friend. Boy, I thought about Aquila and Priscilla over in the book of Romans. If you read over in the book of Romans chapter 16 about Aquila and Priscilla, and Paul got to saying this, he said, who have for my life laid down their own necks? He said Aquila and Priscilla was willing to give their own life for me. Boy, ain't that a true friend today? But I want to preach having a thought on that, the true friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms chapter 27, the psalmist David said this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Well, there's no greater friend that you can have today than in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always faithful. He's always been there for me, and He'll always be there for you. I want to look at just a couple things about the dearest friend that I've ever had. First of all, we've seen His friendship in the sacrifice that He made for us.
Amen.
Bible says in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Boy, I believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ and that left and that glory, I want you to think about this, that He did come to Calvary and that to prove His love and His friendship that He wanted to have for us. But the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 8, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. What a friend. He left everything that He had. Think about this for just a minute. The portals of glory and the fellowship with the Father. And I mean, hey, all the glory that was arrayed and arraigned on Him that was there. He left there to come down here for me and you to be our friend today. Well, the Bible said that for He was rich, but yet for our sakes He became poor. What a friend. How many friends you got today that's willing to empty their bank account that you could have what you need? How many of them you reckon you got today that be willing to sit down and say, how much do you need? I say, I need $30,000. Hey, that's all I got, but you're welcome to it. Let me write you a check and I'll turn up. How many of them do we got today? I dare say not many of us is God that true of a friend today. But when it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, He was a true friend. He came because we were poor and He wanted us and that to be rich because He had it all and that to give to us. I can't believe that He left. And we never think about that sometimes. Maybe you do, but I don't. I forget what He left. to come for me and you. That for our sakes, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Ain't that something? He left the portals of glory so that we might be saved. Think of all that he went through. Listen, it said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Think about everything that Jesus and that suffered for you and me. Think about how much he wanted to be our friend and how much he wanted to reconcile a relationship that was broken and that with God the Father, that he was willing to leave heaven and come down here and suffer through everything that he suffered through so me and you might be saved. Ain't that wonderful today? You know what? I didn't tell you what the word friend means. You know what the word friend means? It means one who is attached to another by affection. Not by family. Amen. I got a feeling some of us struggle to love our family and call them friends. You know, that old saying is you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Amen. Now, you better be careful when you talk about somebody's family, because that's their family.
Amen.
Amen. If they're talking about them, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you start to talk about them, they liable to snatch the hair off your head too. Amen. But listen, the definition is one who's attached to another by affection. You attach to them because you love them. And you got some things in common. But think about everything that he went through. Greater love hath no man than this. He's attached to us by affection today, ain't he? He loved us so much that he was willing to come and die for us so that we might have fellowship with him. Do you realize it's a one-sided deal? He done everything to get your fellowship into his life. Ain't that amazing, though? Revelation chapter 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He said, I'll come in and be a friend to him and be and fellowship with him. Ain't that a wonderful thing? Listen, the debt that he suffered for us and the sacrifice that he went through was to become our friend so that he could fellowship with us. I know it was to save us. I know it was to forgive us. I know it was to wipe the slate clean. Hey, but listen, out of all of it, we got a friend.
Amen.
Out of the deal. You say, I don't need a friend. You just ain't went far enough yet.
That's right.
Huh?
That's
you ain't went far enough right. yet then. Listen, what do you mean I ain't went far enough? You're going to need a friend one day.
Amen.
You're going to need a friend. You're going to need, hey, listen, there's just times in life that you need a friend. I'm going to tell you, there's times I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's times in life that you need this friend to come by and help you. There's times that he hides himself, and I'll deal with that here in a minute. But listen, we see his friendship and the sacrifice that he made for us. You know that you got to sacrifice sometimes for your friends. Huh? So I'm just going to be honest today. Sometimes because folk are your friends, you're not going to be able to do some things that you want them to do. They're going to need your help. And you're just going to have to stop what you're doing and go help them. You say, boy, I sure would like to have got this done. You know what? I've learned some things about friends over the years. I've been on both sides of that thing. There's been times that I've stopped what I was doing and went and helped. And I really needed to get this done. But I'll be honest with you, because there's a friend and they needed help, I went and helped him. And then there's times I needed to get this done. And I know these folk over here had something to do. But they stopped what they were doing and come and help me. But you know, I knew what I needed over here. But boy, that night when Jesus came and knocked upon my heart, I really didn't even know what I needed. But he sure did. Wasn't he a friend? Amen. Come and knock on your heart and say, I've got something you need. I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. You may not have a lot of friends today, but I tell you, Jesus wants to be your friend. Hey, listen, he laid down his life not only so that me and you could be rich and not only so that me and you could have the blessings that he so freely and richly gives. Listen, she was singing that song with all my heart. I want to thank you, Lord. And it talked about all those blessings. I begin to think about what Ephesians said that he can do above what we can even ask or think. Hey, listen, he goes beyond what we can even imagine to be our friend. Ain't he amazing today? But he laid down his life for me and you. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you don't know him, you're not saved. You don't have any life today. You have no eternal life. But listen, we see his friendship, his true friendship, the dearest friendship that we could have in the sacrifice that he made for us. Then could I say, number two, not only do we see the dearest friend that we've ever had in the sacrifice, but then in the sympathy that he feels for us. You know, we have a habit of saying, boy, nobody knows what we're going through. Nobody, we get in a pity party sometimes. And you know, there are times, not to have a pity party, but there are times to be sad. There are times to grieve. But we get into that state of mind, and if we're not careful, we'll let that grief overtake us, and it'll send us down, it'll put us on a road that we probably shouldn't be on, and we'll get to thinking that nobody's been here, nobody can help us, nobody's been through the trouble and the trials and the grief that I'm going to. Hey, the Bible said in Hebrews 4, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feint of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What's that scripture say? Hey, we've got a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Listen, he does know what you're going through, and he wants to help you today. Listen, if you're lost, he wants to save you. But listen, if you're suffering and that with grief, if you're suffering and that in a trial today, if you're suffering and that with care, I want you to understand that the Lord, Jesus Christ, he feels what we're feeling today. You know what that word sympathy means? It means a fellow feeling. The quality of being affected by the affliction of another. Now, I've watched some people over the years that I didn't know, and you just see things and in their life and you kind of feel bad for them. But listen, when somebody that you love, that you're attached to by affection because they're your friend, listen, when they're hurting, you're hurting too. Hey, listen, you hate to see them going through what they're going through. And you, though, may not know what it feels like. Amen? Some of you know what it's like to lose your mom or your dad. Don't know that. I think about that sometimes, and I don't want to get morbid. But listen, I couldn't tell you the pain that's in that. I can't tell you the pain it's there to lose your spouse. Somebody's lost your spouse. I don't know what that's like, but I do feel for you today. I want you to understand that. And not necessarily that I feel sorry for you, but I pray for you. I want God to help you.
Yeah.
But listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ sees our troubles and our trials, and he looks down and he has sympathy on us, he knows what you're going through. He knows what it's like to be separated. He knows what it's like. And listen, he truly, and that cares for us today. I'm preaching on the dearest friend that I ever had. 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I've heard people say, well, I don't pray for myself. You better. There may not be nobody else praying for you, friend. You better learn to pray for yourself. I pray for myself all the time. Listen, I want you to understand that the cares that we have can be cast upon him, and he wants them so that he can help us bear them today. What kind of care are you carrying around? What kind of worry do you have? You know, we have some so-called friends that when the going gets tough, hey, they bail out on us. But that ain't the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when he shows up the most, is when it's all going wrong. That's when he shows up. I want you to take your Bible and look with me in Luke chapter 12. I want you to see this. I was trying to get to this scripture the other day at the nursing home in Luke chapter 12. And I don't know what happened. I tried to get over there and I turned over there to what I thought was Luke chapter 12. And it didn't read what I needed it to say. And I could quote most of it, which was good. But I thought, man, something's wrong. I don't even know what book I was in now. Well, Luke chapter 12, I want you to look with me in verse 24. Luke chapter 12 and look in verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Boy, we miss that so much. If God takes care of them little birds that's flying up in the first heaven, and them that nest on my front porch. And God sees to them. And he says, why? Why are we worried? He said, are you not much better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, now pay attention right here, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What do we study in Sunday school? Queen of Sheba come to see, and she wasn't even told half of it that he had going on in the city of Jerusalem over there. And she was, her spirit just fell in her when she seen everything that was going on. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, look, these lilies that grow, they don't toil, they don't spin. Solomon was not even arrayed like one of these. Why is that? Because the Heavenly Father sees to them, don't he? If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Boy, how many times I get weak in the faith? How many times? How many times do you get weak in the faith? If the Lord helps us tonight, we might look at Sarah. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 11, it talks about Sarah, Abraham's wife. And it even puts her into the roll call of faith over there. And when you read the story of Sarah, you don't think of a great faith giant. When you see Sarah. But God included her into the roll call of faith. How many of us, I think about that sometimes when I read Hebrews 11, how many of us would be included into the roll call of faith? How many of us would be pictured enough in our life and that to have faith and that to believe and trust God when everything's coming against us? So the Lord, he tells them, he said, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Boy, I get there a lot. I tell you what, most of you don't. How many of you know what my first name is? Don't say Mark because that ain't it. Said, I always didn't even know that I go by my middle. Just be quiet, Mitchell. Many, he's over there. Listen, my first name is Thomas. I'm named after my daddy. And his name is Thomas. And listen, sometimes I just get like old Doubting Thomas. Hey, you know what? You know what he said over there. He said, "If I don't put my hands in his fingers, and I don't put my hand in his side, I ain't gonna believe." And a lot of times we just don't have faith in that to believe like we should sometimes. And the Lord said, "For all these things, he said, don't be of a doubtful mind. For all these things, do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father, watch this, knoweth that you have need of these things. He knows what you have." Ain't he a good friend? Man, I'm telling you by the sympathy that he feels for us and that he has on us, and he supplies the needs that we have today simply because he wants to encourage us and please us and take care of us. Hey, I'm telling you what a friend we have in Jesus today. Well, I got thinking about this thing. This ain't no greater friend than you could ever have. Young people, you can have friends growing up. And I've still got one that I growed up with. Me and him started kindergarten together. And I've told you before when I've taught you class, I've still got one friend that I grew up with, even to this day, that me and him, we talk all the time, we help each other, but he's still not a greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my buddy, and he's my friend. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the dearest friend I've ever had. Can I tell you something? Even when we don't know what we need, he does. He does. Listen, the Bible talks about in Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Even when we don't even know how to pray, he helps us. Ain't that amazing? What a friend. What a friend. It's seen in the sympathy that he has for us. It's seen in number three, the constants that he has for us. The constancy. You know what that word constant means? Fixed or firm, not varied, certain. James chapter 1 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's a constant friend. You ever had some friends that are just fickle? You know what that means? They'll be your friend today, but they may not be your friend tomorrow.
That's
And then 2 or 3 days later, they may be friendly towards you, and then they may not be friendly towards you 3 or 4 days down the road. Hey, listen, I want you to understand something today. He'll always be your friend.
Amen.
Once you get Him as your friend. Once He saves you and you get washed and put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's your friend forever.
Amen.
It ain't going to change. Listen, He is a constant friend. Bible said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I believe we can try to forsake our friendship. But you know what? He won't even let us forsake our friendship. Hey, listen, when He is so faithful to us, that friend, when we and that want to get away from Him, He won't let us get away from Him. Ain't that something today? You know how faithful He is? You know how faithful He is? You know what the Bible says about a faithful friend? The Bible said in Proverbs 27, open rebuke is better than secret love. And faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know when you're doing wrong and you got a friend comes by and tells you that you're doing wrong, every now and again there's a little bit just builds up on the inside of you and you get a little aggravated with them. But if you sit down and you think about that thing, you say to yourself, man, they's only trying to help me. You know, Lord Jesus is the same way. But when we get headed down the wrong path, the wrong road, in the wrong direction, and He comes by, and that by the Holy Spirit begins to work on our heart, and I mean afflict us and affect us, and He begins to chasten us. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, He's doing it because He's our friend, and He's faithful to us.
Amen.
And ain't going to leave us. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. He's faithful when you're wrong. Do you know that? He's faithful to us when we're wrong. Oh, we can cut off and sever friendships if you want to say it that way. And I tell you what, we can sin and it'll separate Him and that from us. Isaiah chapter 59 says it's our iniquities that has hid His face from us. But I'm telling you what, He's always there ready to restore that relationship. Amen. That we've once had. Now you can't be lost again. Thank God for that. Amen. But listen, you can ruin that relationship. Can I tell you, He's faithful to us. He'll come by. He's so faithful to us that, friend, you can count on Him. When you can't count on nobody else, you can count on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go back to that verse. What did He say in the book of Psalms over there? When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord shall lift me up. He's my friend. Do you have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Some of you just had to lean on Him more than others. Have you ever had to lean on Him? Have you ever leaned on Him?
Amen.
Boy, I'm telling you, I've leaned on Him a lot. Amen. Over the years. Just leaned on Him and leaned on Him and leaned on Him. And boy, what a friend.
Amen.
What a friend.
Lord.
I tell you, the Bible said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's always faithful. Even when it seems like He ain't there, He's always faithful. What are you talking about? I had that buddy that I was telling you about. Him and his wife, they went to Nashville this past week. So I didn't see him nor talk to him all week. But did you know when he came back from Nashville, me and him still friends?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that we were still friends when he was in Nashville? And I didn't see him nor talk to him or converse with him or carry on with him or anything. He was still my friend. Hey, listen, there's some times, and it took me a long time to figure this out, and I still ain't got it all figured out, but they just sometimes God gets quiet.
Amen.
And He hides Himself. You read Psalms 42 over there. Man, I'm telling you, if you ever read on David's life, man, he's up one day and he is down the next.
That's right.
He's up one day and he's down the next. Now, I'm not telling you this is what David is. They would classify him as bipolar back in, probably. Or depressed or something, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, that's just the way life is. It's up and down. Life is never always going to stay in one place.
Amen.
It's going to be good for a while, and then somewhere along the way, it might get bad for a while. But when it's good, He's our friend. When it's bad, He's our friend. When He's hid from us, He's still our friend. He's still our friend. I want to show you something. I want you to take your Bible and look in Psalms 42. Look in Psalms 42. And these are the days that I wait for sometimes when you just need Him to come by and talk to you. I mean, you're just in a mess, and I know that I've preached on this numerous times over the years. But I want you to look at what David said. His heart pineth
after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I remember sitting there at the nursing home over our brother Bill. And we'd take his Bible and go through it. And I said, some of my most favorite scripture, Brother Bill's found in Psalms 40, where he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he said, my favorite scripture is two chapters later. And it was this one right here. And he said, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually saying to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. David said, I just kept doing what I was supposed to do. I kept on going where I was supposed to go. Listen, I've wept, I've cried. I've cried day and night. I've wondered about things day and night. My enemies have come and said that God ain't real. I'm thirsting for God. But yet he ain't come by. And I ain't seen him for a while. And verse 5 said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieting me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now most of y'all know what that scripture means. That he's going to show up one day. That's what that means. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. God is going to show up and make himself known. But you know what? Sometimes that gets a little tough, don't it? When he don't show up. But you know what? God's always right on time. And he'll always be a friend that always shows up on time. Why? Because he's faithful to us. He's faithful. You may have some friends forsake you, but God's faithful. Number 5. I combine 3 and 4. Number 5, and last of all, it's seen in the resources that he commands toward us. What do you mean? Can I tell you that when we get in a time of trouble or need time of help, we've got friends that would love to help us, but they can't. They don't know how, or they don't have the resources. Remember what I said a few minutes ago? There's been times maybe that you needed financial help, and these folk that know you needed financial help, they just didn't have the ability to do it. They didn't have the money. They didn't have the ability to go to the bank and get it. They didn't have it in their bank account. They couldn't loan it to you. They wanted to. They would have if they had it, but they couldn't. But you know what? The Lord has got the resources to help whatever we need. I think about Daniel chapter 4. And here stands King Nebuchadnezzar after he has lost his mind and regained it. The Bible said, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He will do as he pleases to do. And he'll do as he pleases to do to help me and you. He will move, let me say this, he'll move heaven and earth to help you if that's what it takes. In the book of Mark and in the book of John, his disciples is in a boat by theirself in the middle of the night, rowing and tulling in the middle of a storm. And what does he do? He walks on the water to get to them. There was no other way to get to them boys. He said, well, he could have calmed the storm from where he was. He could have. He could have let them roll out of that storm and got to the shore. And he could have. But yet he decided that he was going to walk on the water and that to go to them. I think that shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ will do what it takes to get to you. Did he not stand out on the bow of a boat one time when them boys had no faith? And I mean, the storm was raging against them and he was on board. I mean, listen, when he's on board, the boat ain't going to sink, friend.
Amen.
We get in our mind that the boat's going to sink.
That's right.
And he stood out because of their fear and calmed that storm. The Apostle Paul talked about at one time that nobody stood with him, but yet the Lord stood with him. There was another time when Paul talked about being in Macedonia when he said, without were fightings and within were fears, but God comforted us by the coming of Titus. God knows what we need and when we need it. He'll always be there for us. If you're saved, he's the dearest friend you'll ever have. He's the dearest friend. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. Man, he's something else. If you don't know him today, why don't you come and get saved? He wants to help bear your burdens. He wants to help you, give you the riches of glory. But I'm telling you, I can't explain. I really can't explain about his friendship enough to get you to understand how good of a friend the Lord Jesus Christ is. Let's bow our heads across the house this morning, if we would. Let's get some verse of invitation, fellas, if friends will come. Do you know this friend this morning? Do you have this friend? Listen, he's my friend. He's my friend. How about you? How about you? Listen, do you know him? Maybe you need some help today from this friend. From this friend. Greatest friend you'll ever have. Listen, Lord don't want you to dwell by yourself. He don't want you to live by yourself. He don't want you to live by yourself in your heart and your mind. Listen, he wants to be there to help you and fellowship with you. Do you know him today? Do you? If you don't know him, would you come and get saved? Would you come and know him in the free part? He died for you, friend, so that you could get saved. Maybe today you're just like David in Psalms 42. And it seems like God has disappeared and he's hiding. So, preacher, you've preached about him being my friend. I'm going to tell you what helps me make it through sometimes. It's those times that he has showed up. It's those times that he has showed himself and revealed himself for my sake and come along and help to me. That's what keeps me going sometimes. So meditate upon his work that he's done for me. Things that there's no other way that it could have happened. Happenstance couldn't have made it that way. Chance couldn't have worked out. But because God intervened and come by and showed himself because he loved me, I wanted to help me. Maybe that's where you're at today. Preaching on him having you, on him being my friend, preacher, but it seems like he's disappeared. Just wait, he'll show up. You continue to be his friend. Church, how much of a friend are we being to Jesus today? How much of a friend? He's our friend. Do you know him today? Why not come and get saved? Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our friend. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loves us and sticks closer than a brother because he is our friend. I pray that you'd help somebody today that may not know you, that may not, Lord, they don't know what I'm preaching about, but boy, they sure want to come and know you as their friend. And Lord, there may be some folk here that just need some help. I mean, they're just in a way this morning that none of us could really comprehend except you. And you know you are touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You do care. You do have sympathy on us, and you do want to help. If folk would come and bring you that burden, you'd help them. It may be sin in their life, and what a great, wonderful friend that you are, that you're even willing, Lord, to just take care of that. Not to look over it, but to just forgive it and restore that relationship that they once had. What a great and wonderful friend you are to us today. Would you move upon hearts if you ain't already done it and save somebody during this invitation, and we'll give you the glory for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed across the house this morning. But let's go ahead and play. Go ahead and play. Do you need to move this morning? Do you need to come? Has God spoke to your heart? Dealt with you through the preaching today. While Miss Sarah stood here and sung, and with all my heart, I want to thank you, Lord. Could you do that? Could you do it with all your heart? You might not have been able to do it because your heart wasn't right with God. Do you need to move this morning? How about it? Oh, what a friend we have in him. Do you need to come? God spoke to you. Maybe you won't come to thank him today. Maybe you just like up and get around this altar. Or say, Lord, just won't thank you.
Thank you when I was unworthy, you saved me. I want to thank you for leaving glory. Oh, you didn't have to, but you love me. Do you want to come? Thank you tonight for being your friend. Oh, the dearest friend you're ever going to have.